Customers are rushing to your store. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. Shopify POS is your command center for your retail store. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify has everything you need to sell in person. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into the one source of truth. Track every sale across your business in one place and know exactly what's in stock. Connect with customers in line and online. Shopify helps you drive store traffic with plug-and-play tools built for marketing campaigns from TikTok to Instagram and beyond. Get hardware that fits your business. Take payments by smartphone, transform your tablet into a point-of-sale system, or use Shopify's POS Go mobile device for a battle-tested solution. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Do retail right with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/theathletic, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/theathletic to take your retail business to the next level today. shopify.com/theathletic.
Good morning, Sweet World, and welcome to the No Dunks Podcast on the Athletic Network. It's Tuesday, February 7th, 2023. I'm J.E. Skeets here in the Classic Factory. And alongside me, as always, that's Tass Mellis.
Podcast listeners, this is for you.
Next to him, it's the bearded one, my top shot hot boy, Trey Kirby.
Ayo!
Hey, yo! And last but not least, making the magic happen, super producer JD and his protege, Eshua Kid.
Hello.
What's up, guys? How's it going? How's it going? Shout out to the stream team joining us live right now on YouTube. Love to see a lot of you waiting for the show to start. Hit the like button. Especially while you're waiting. What else are you doing? Hit that like button. Make sure you subscribe to No Dunks on YouTube. Coming away there in the stream team. Get your No Dunks merch over at nodunks.com. Got some new jerseys coming this Friday. They'll go live at 10 a.m. Eastern. There will only be 100 of them, and then they're gone. But we'll tell you that when we get to it on the drop. And tickets still available for our live show in Salt Lake City, Friday, February 17th at 8 p.m. at the Urban Lounge.
I love those pauses. So dramatic.
I was going to say the 18th for some reason. I don't know why. I've said it a million times now, February 17th, but I was hoping that graphic was going to come up. Save my ass. I heard the buttons being clicked over there. That's all right. Friday, February 17th, 8 p.m., Urban Lounge. Hit that link in the show notes if you'd like to get a ticket if you're coming to All-Star Weekend.
You say a lot of dates, Skeets. You say a lot of dates.
I do,
so,
indeed.
You know, it kind of blends together, I'm sure.
Do you think a lot of people are fly into Salt Lake City for this All-Star Weekend?
I am.
Good.
I know five people that are, at least.
We are.
I'm guessing horse-drawn carriage is the main way to get to a Salt Lake City All-Star game, but I don't know.
You could ski in.
You could ski in. I guess you could take the lift down if you're scared of the Black Diamond course. There are many ways to get there. I heard the Donner Party cross through Salt Lake City once upon a time. Hope we don't end the same, Skeetsy.
I have no idea what that means, but I'm excited to find out on Friday, February 17th. Come join us for that live show if you're in the area or if you're making that trek by horse, by ski, by lift.
Can't wait for the Donner Party. Sounds tasty.
This guy just wants to eat food, man, in Salt Lake City. I like it.
Yeah, we're doing a tour.
All right. Okay, weird night in the NBA last night, let's be honest. We did have the Bucks winning their eighth straight game. They're on fire right now. We had Klay Thompson hitting 12 threes. We had Andre Drummond in his white t-shirt balling out for your Bulls. It's a nice day for a white t-shirt. And we had Keegan Murray and the Kings, they may have broken Rockets coach Steven Silas. He was on fire. Keegan Murray, let's get him in the three-point contest. I was thinking about that. Anyway, it was like a lot of blowouts, but we had some fun games, and I thought we could do an edition of Is This News? Yeah, Is This News? I got headlines, some about the games last night, some about other things going on in the association. I'll read them to you, and you can tell me whether or not they're newsworthy. First one, game-related, like I said, from the NBA. Ever heard of it? Cam Thomas makes Nets franchise history in career-high 47-point performance. Did come in a loss, but Cam Thomas, 47, we watched it on playback. Was it newsworthy to you in the moment?
The man is a bucket. It is entirely true. Even going back to last year, his rookie year, he was a bucket then. And I guess going back to his LSU days, I'm not familiar with him back then. But we talked about it when Kevin Durant went down because they sort of lacked, you know, besides Kyrie, when he was there, that top-end talent to score the ball. They got a lot of grinders. We said here, get Cam Thomas in the game. Mm-hmm. We should be an NBA coaching staff, obviously. but the guy just can score. It was a marvelous watch on playback. Otherwise, the night, yeah, a little bit of a dud, let's be honest. But we had two teams. We'll get to the Dallas Mavericks and the Brooklyn Nets that were trying to show a lot of guys on those rosters trying to show that we need playing time. We should deserve playing time with, you know, Kyrie moving, obviously, and Spencer Dinwiddie moving from Dallas. And Cam Thomas showing that he could. And it was a nice little show there that he put on. Nice little show by the Nets broadcast to show Cam Thomas's monstrous legs and his
tree trunks,
his ups when he gets up. You would have loved it, JD. A beautiful little package, beautiful little highlight package of Cam Thomas just getting into his shots. Cameras on the floor showing you how high he gets off the floor, not showing you if the ball goes in. Just over and over, 5, 6, 7 jumps of Cam Thomas getting in the air.
You know I love
it. It was marvelous. Well, that's really nice. The guy could score, obviously, and he was going for it, baby. It's too bad he didn't get 50, let's be honest.
Yeah, he has now scored 91 points in the Nets' last two games, though. And in doing so, Cam became the second youngest player in NBA history to score back-to-back 40-point games. 44 against the Wizards, 47 against the Clippers in the loss last night. There's the graphic going around. LeBron had him beat by, 24 days? Something like that. So pretty impressive. He was asked about that, though. Like, the idea, like, him joining LeBron as the youngest players in NBA history to, like, score that many points in consecutive games. He said, "That's great company. I'm a Kobe guy, though. So if you said Kobe, I would have been a little more excited." This guy, man. But what do you think, Trey? It did come in a loss. I mean, the Clippers down the stretch took care of business. The experience coming through. But was this, news? This is noteworthy here, what Cam Thomas has done over these last two.
Hey, if you're a franchise history leader, that's impressive, even if it is for the Nets. That's crazy to me that that is the history, though, for the Nets. Like, Kevin Durant didn't do it. Dr. J. Julius Erving didn't do it.
John Williamson didn't do it.
Todd McCullough didn't do it.
Yeah.
Dikembe Mutombo, Keith Van Horn, all these guys. But no, last night he was him, Thomas, and it was a guys being dudes kind of night. Unfortunately, until the end when they turned back into guys. Fourth quarter, Brooklyn had 10 makes and 7 turnovers, and it basically was the Cam Thomas show. Like, he was at 41, I think, when we really started clocking if he's going to get to 50. And the Clippers just double-teamed him every time, trying to get the ball out of his hands. Struggled a little bit with the double teams. Took some really, really tough shots trying to get to 50. And eventually just kind of got out of rhythm, unfortunately. So didn't finally get there. But, man, it was really, really fun to watch. And if you're a Nets fan, you got to be thinking, between getting Dinwiddie back and Cam Thomas kind of seizing the opportunity here, at least you can replace Kyrie Irving scoring between those two guys. Like, you can get to 27 points a game a night from Dinwiddie and Cam. So definitely encouraging. Would have been nice to come through with the dub, though.
Yep. At Worldwide Wob have a great tweet, I thought, last night about Cam. He said, "I've been on this app long enough to know Cam Thomas is going to be NBA Twitter's new favorite player by the end of the week." He was tweeting this sort of during the game. Here's why. He's a microwave scorer, of course. Extremely memeable, Worldwide Wob points out. He has that MJ never had to guard me confidence, and he's already got a signature quote in the ain't shit funny when he was asked, "Why don't you smile?" And there were a couple grins last night, even when at halftime, I think, as he was going to the locker room, broke one out there, and even later in the game. But I think Wob's right. He's a torch type player, man. Guy's on fire right now, and he was hitting some insane shots in this game. That one-legged off balance, going cross sort of the free throw lane. He hit that one late. But as the doubles came, it was, you saw like the lack of experience in just dealing with doubles in the NBA. It's like, well, he's probably never seen this in the NBA.
Totally.
A lot of media, so.
And it was like Kawhi and Paul George as well. They're like, "Hey, this is ridiculous. We got to stop this." And they ended up stopping it. which was a smart move, honestly, from Ty Lue, because it was either Cam Thomas scoring or get him to pass the ball, and it's going to be a turnover from somebody else. And that's kind of what it was for the Nets down the stretch.
Yeah, it felt like he shot 50 times to get those 47 points. It was 29 in the end, 7-11 from three, scorching out there. Could have been a lot more if they didn't double, but he was shooting every time. Seemed like he was a little tired in the legs. That shot where he went across the body, you remember that young reporter asked Russell Westbrook about his cool moves and how he was facing the opposite way and threw his body the other way. Like he literally wasn't facing the rim. He was just feeling it. And the Clippers not feeling it. I think the Clippers got to worry about getting another guard to help out Paul George and Kawhi Leonard. They obviously went for Kyrie Irving. It didn't happen. But that offense, they should have smacked the Nets, but they just lack a guy who can get to the rim. I know we joked recently about them getting free throws, but they don't enough because they don't have another guy that can get to the rim. So they got to be worried, and they'll be active here. 53 hours to go to try and get. They don't have the assets, I guess, to get a Kyrie Irving. I suppose I still like that package, but a lesser point guard.
Yeah, we'll get into that a little bit later in the show. Clippers did win for their 8th time in 10 games and finished their little road trip here on the East Coast 4-2. So. Overall, good. Maybe some of these games a little closer than you would have liked. This one against a very depleted Nets team, the one they had to pull out of their ass against the Knicks, but still putting together the dubs there, and we'll see if they make a move here in the next couple days. All right, let's keep it going. Associated Press, they got the headline. Josh Green, Jaden Hardy helped the Mavs surprise the Jazz 124-111 without Luka. Without a lot of guys. TK, is this news?
I'll say semi-news. Mm-hmm. The Mavs were winless without Luka, though I'll say he sprained his ankle 3 minutes into the game against the Phoenix Suns. They went on to win that game. Doesn't count as a without Luka game,
True. But
it kind of is. But here's why it's news. Josh Green had such a good game that we're seeing kind of why the Mavs were okay putting Dorian Finney-Smith into the deal for Kyrie Irving. They're similar players. Josh Green's a little bit shorter, a little bit less weight, not quite as stout of a guy. He's maybe more of a wing than DFS can kind of guard the stretch fours. I think Dorian Finney-Smith, a more willing three-point shooter, but Josh Green's a better transition player, and he's shooting well from three this year, maybe a more versatile offensive player as well. I don't know. He's also 7 years younger and also on a really team-friendly deal. Dorian Finney-Smith on a great contract. Josh Green makes him look like an extravagant luxury. So I thought it was good for the Mavs to get a win without Luka, without Kyrie, obviously. They're a very depleted team after the trade, but to get that win and to see Josh Green step into that role and do a lot on offense, I think was big for Mavericks.
Totally. The supporting cast of the Mavs showing that they are viable around top-end talent. They're missing top-end talent last night, but you get those guys in Kyrie and Luka, and you have Green grinding. As a secondary creator, he looked pretty good, pretty confident. Mm-hmm. Footwork looking good. Tiny. They're going to be tiny. If he starts alongside Kyrie and Luka, yeah, he's 6'5", so there'll be some problems. They're going to outscore teams, but take it a step further. Reggie Bullock looked pretty good in the starting lineup. Dwight Powell.
Oh, he was a monster.
Showing promise.
8 offensive rebounds, yes. 16 boards total, which I think is a career high for him.
Yeah, watching this game back, those guys looked like they want to vie for spots. They want to play. It was a guys being dudes sort of scenario. They want to play around Luka and Kyrie. So you got to be excited if you're the Mavs when you look at that, quick snapshot. They do lack a little depth. They are going to be looking for a wing just because of the height problem to replace Dorian Finney-Smith's height. I'm sure they're looking for a wing right now as we speak. But the pieces are there. They're there, but they're a little thin. But Josh Green, baller.
And Hardy, 29 points as well for the Mavericks. I thought the most glaring difference after we signed off of playback, I was watching this one, without Luka, how fast this Mavericks team played without him. I mean, Luka everything goes through him, and it's like a slow, methodical play. I mean, that's when you get into your Harden comparisons, how they play. It's just, I'm going to dictate the pace. It's obviously going to go through me, and we're just not going to play all that fast and loose and wild. That wasn't the case last night. I mean, the Mavericks, 27-4 fast break points with these guys pushing it, 24-12 in second chance points. Big part of that, Dwight Powell, who was a monster at getting the offensive rebounds. It was just different. It was a nice little switch up. And I wonder if kids should lean into that when Luka is not out there. and play a couple of these lines where you can change the style of the game. But this was a really, really good win, and this was a bunch of guys being dudes, just like the Nets, who came up short, especially for me in our pick'em. But that was a perfect example of that that Trey Kirby line that I really hope sticks.
Just I think it's guys good. Being dudes. It's tough when they turn back into guys at the end. Which is what happened for Brooklyn and didn't happen for Dallas. But you're right. Kyrie's a guy who pushes the pace.
Yeah.
He plays a lot faster compared to Luka. So surely they'll play at Luka speeds when he's on the court. And Kyrie can thrive playing alongside him. And then when it's Kyrie time, you can push the pace a little. Get Josh Green out there. Get Jaden Hardy. We'll see. I mean, who knows? Jaden Hardy's had a couple of big games.
Yep.
I feel similar to him as I do with Cam Thomas. Like, scouting report ain't out yet. We'll see what you do when teams actually adjust and have to give you some focus. But 9 for 9 at the free throw line, 4 threes, you got to love it.
Yeah, just spot minutes in the playoffs, even if he's earned trust from Jason Kidd. That's, I guess, all you can really hope for from Jaden Hardy. But also, Jason Kidd must look out there and be like, yeah, they're playing like me a little bit. I mean, just to get up and down a little bit more. And apparently, Kyrie not modeled his game after Jason Kidd, but really loved Jason Kidd growing up. Yeah. I don't know if that's just the reports coming out here after Kyrie's traded. I had never heard that before. But anyway, I don't know if I'm going conspiracy theory, but J. Kidd must be loving it, watching it out there. I feel like when I was playing with Todd McCullough out there, because Todd McCullough loved to get up and down.
Yeah, that's the first guy I think of when I think of high-tempo basketball.
He wanted to. He's just too big. He wanted to play like he played pinball.
There it is.
Banging around. best Canadian pinballer in NBA history. In pinball history, probably.
Probably true.
Wow. Yeah.
I don't know about that second part. Anyway, those headlines were from the past. Let's look to some headlines in the future here, because I'm talking about The Athletic coming through with LeBron nears all-time scoring record ahead of the game versus OKC. That is tonight.
That's news.
36 points from passing Kareem's nearly 39-year-old record of 38,387 career points. This is news.
Yeah.
Well, hold on.
Hold on.
You going to stay up and watch this? It's going to be very late. It's a 10 p.m. start, Tass. Are you going to stay up and watch potential history live?
I need to watch it live. Okay. I don't want to absorb the moment after the fact.
I 100% agree with you.
Yeah.
Yeah, you got to stay
get it
up.
Done. Get it done the first half, though. That'd be nice.
Oh, you think he gets it done tonight?
36 in the first half?
No. I'm asking him to do it. I mean, please. Please.
That'd be awesome.
I stayed up for the Grammys on Sunday night. I don't want to do it
Why
two
did
three
you
nights.
Do that to yourself?
Yeah, it's a mistake. I got roped. Anyway. Obviously, incredible news here. The man is playing in his 20th season. Sometimes it's just easy to forget. 19 of his 20 seasons, 25 plus points. That rookie year was a bad one, but yeah, you got just 20.9. Didn't hit 21. Here he is.
You think he does it tonight? Obviously, he has OKC tonight, and then the next game is on Thursday, TNT versus the Bucks at home.
Yeah, OKC is tiny, and I think LeBron will be comfortable going at that rim. I think that'll help.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah.
So those are easy, easy
look,
points.
Look, he obviously could do it. LeBron has scored over 36, I don't know, probably 200 times in his career.
Nine times this season.
Oh, there you go. Yeah.
But it's slowed down a little
bit. Yeah. See him having like a 25, 26-point night setting up for Thursdays where he needs 10 in the first quarter or in the second quarter or whatever, and he gets it there. I mean, that's sort of where – if I'm guessing, I don't think he does it tonight. I think he comes up just short to set up Thursday. But what do you think, TK?
All right, you talked me into it. I was feeling this morning, it's over. Okay. It's Jover tonight, but I don't know. Now I'm thinking it's going to be Anthony Davis has a 30 and 20, and LeBron goes for a triple-double, setting it up to steal back the spotlight from NBA trade deadline day on Thursday. We'll be talking trades all day.
Right.
Talking about teams, players moving left, right, coast to coast. And then at night, we'll talk about actual basketball because LeBron passes Kareem Abdul-Jabbar with a skyhook.
Oh, yes, he was seen practicing that, was he not?
Yes, indeed.
There are some crazy bets going around right now. Like, obviously, you can bet on this. Just some fun ones I pulled for you guys. Tell me where you'd lay your money. How will LeBron break the record? Two-point shot, that's the odds-on favorite, minus 170. Three-point shot, plus 275. Or a free throw, plus 340. Is it anticlimactic and happen at the line? I mean, it's what Kobe. Who did Kobe pass? Was that MJ? No, Kobe hit a free throw that was like one of his big ones.
Yeah,
I can't remember what it was for, but anyway, it was like. What do you think he does? You see a skyhook here from LeBron and dunk?
Betting can be gross, but if you bet on a free throw, that's even more disgusting. Plus 340, people will see the odds there.
Plus 340, and it's not bad.
Hand
one maybe to put him over the top, man.
Jeez. It's not going to be a three. First, he's not stroking it all that well. Second, I don't think he wants to do that. He's going to do it emphatically. I think the skyhook is going to happen.
Okay. Wow, really?
Why not?
I mean, he'll try it. I think he'll try it. But what if he
shoots out skyhooks all game?
Okay. How about this one? We talked about this on Playback a little bit last night. How long will the game be paused after LeBron breaks the record? So it's the time is from the stoppage after the bucket to the next play. Over-under is set at 4.5 minutes.
I'm a big over.
You're a big over.
I'm a big over. I saw a quote from Rob Pelinka said, "We'll make the celebration as big as we can. We always do."
Huh.
I've taken the over on 9.5 minutes. 10 minute stoppage time here.
Wow. Okay, so you're easily hitting the 4.5 over.
Yeah.
I just want to know, what are they going to do? Video tribute?
Show every one of his points.
Yeah, I would assume there'll be something like that.
Kareem's in the
building tonight, and he's going to be there on Thursday, apparently.
If he needs to be.
Yeah.
He's not coming Thursday otherwise. Gotta watch Girls.
So a photo op with Kareem.
Yeah, photo op. He's going to get on the mic. LeBron is.
Yeah.
I think there's Kareem a video too. Package. There's...
Cool Lakers jersey with a big number on it.
Yeah.
I guess that's 4 minutes.
Yeah, easily. Mm-hmm. I would hit the over on this. This is LeBron James.
It is the scoring title.
Yeah, I think it's going to be lengthy. Who will LeBron thank first after breaking the record? The odds on favorite, plus 125. God. First. This is first.
Okay.
So this is the mic has been handed to LeBron. He thanks God first. Teammates, plus 250. Mom, plus 450. Wife, plus 450. Coaches down there. Children down there. Any other person, maybe us, plus 1,400.
I mean, the field bet is interesting.
Yeah.
Field bet's pretty interesting. Could he thank Kareem?
He could thank Kareem first.
I would put down two bets here on mom and wife. Yeah. I think we'll be first on the list for LeBron.
Wow. Man, I feel like teammates. I
want to thank Lonnie Walker IV for being here.
I just want to thank the guys. I don't know if that counts. For being dudes.
I want to thank Max Christie. I said, Rob, do not trade this guy. He needs to be there. He wants to see it.
Oh, I don't know. That's a tough one. Tass, you got a read on that one?
No, I don't. No. I like teammates in the field, though. Teammates is just sort of a go-to standard when in doubt. Thanks to everybody for passing me the ball every single time. I'd go, the field is a good one, though. The field is a good one. It could be somebody out of left field, you know? Could thank Rich Paul. I don't know.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, maybe Nike. Who knows? Although, there's going to be a Nike commercial, right?
Yep,
Lined up, ready to go. I don't know. Does that count as part of the break?
Sounds like it. You said it's from stop of game to play. That's a commercial break.
Wow.
Probably 2 minutes plus on that commercial.
Yeah. Oh, jeez. All right. I guess we'll find out maybe tonight or Thursday how the NBA plans to honor LeBron here when he breaks this record. Silver has also implied that they're going to do something at All-Star Weekend to celebrate LeBron having the all-time record. Okay, next one here. Let's take it to the business section of the newspaper.
Deal book.
I looked in the New York Times here today. NBA owners approve Matt Ishbia's purchase of the Suns and the Mercury. Trey, is this news?
Oh, this is definitely news. Because he's got a new owner for a team that seems like they're going to be active at the trade deadline. So it's kind of the first test. Patience for Matt Ishbia or fireworks for Matt Ishbia? There were reports that the Raptors were lurking around the Suns recently, scouting out all their players. Obviously, these two teams have been involved in trade negotiations, it seems like. Phoenix is the only team in the league right now who has no picks incoming or outgoing. So clean slate for them if they want to make a move. And obviously the Suns have had a pretty decent run here the past couple of seasons since Chris Paul showed up. So I can't imagine Matt Ishbia wants to come in to a team that's on the downslope. He probably wants a team that's going to be competitive after paying billions of dollars to buy it. So with Jay Crowder's situation unresolved still at this point, you got Chris Paul with a partial guarantee next season, unguaranteed for the 24-25 season. They've got pieces to move with a new owner. Is he going to be a splashy guy? wouldn't be a surprise if so. So that's why I think this is news, because you got a new decision maker at the top of a team who needed to make some decisions.
Yep.
Yeah, and a new start for the organization. I'm sure a lot of people inside and outside the organization just extremely happy with this new fresh start for them. The Robert Sarver era is over. And also news because the vote, which took place.
Yeah, so the NBA's Board of Governors, they have to approve the sale, so they do their vote, like you're saying. The vote was 29-0 in favor, obviously, of Matt Ishbia and approving the sale for the Suns and the Mercury. 29! Okay.
I thought at first, okay, they didn't vote then.
I know, isn't that a little weird?
Maybe the Suns didn't vote, but they did.
They did. It was the Cavs who abstained from the vote. Yeah, this is some real succession type shit here. Hey, the Cavs are owned by Dan Gilbert, who runs Rocket Mortgage. Ishbia owns United Wholesale Mortgage. And the two companies are considered not only the top largest mortgage lenders in America, but they have a fierce rivalry, these two. So Gilbert's like, I'm not voting. I hate that guy. I hate that mortgage lender.
This is literally news.
Yeah.
Because reading about it last night, this is a beef in the newspapers.
Mortgage beef.
Mortgage beef. Quite the beef.
Between weird rich
guys.
They
go back.
You laughed at me when I brought it up on playback.
And yeah, I just couldn't believe it. Oh, I didn't think I was watching HBO. So, yeah, it's shocking.
Yep. But we'll see, what HBO does here coming in. And whether even the Suns over the last bit have been like, have there been trades lined up, like what you were saying, TK, over the last couple of days, but it's like sort of wait until the big boss man is here to sort of sign off on these. Not the big boss man from WWE.
Yeah, I heard him too.
Yeah.
It's crazy, man.
He's got his nightstick coming in. Clean
house. Night Court is back.
I saw that.
What's wrong with that?
Everything.
Yeah, but...
Everything except Elf. Why is an Elf back in a remake?
Oh, Alf. I thought you said Elf. It's like, I mean...
That's my Canadian accent.
February. That's a weird time for it.
Everything.
Yeah, I didn't know we were coming for a John Larroquette renaissance.
Oh, he's killing it.
He's back, baby.
They offered him a lot of money, he said.
What's that one era?
And it's actually successful. It's successful.
Really? What's it
a lot more? It's the most successful sitcom reboot in a long time.
How do you know that?
You read the news? Is this news?
Yeah.
I was in the business section.
It's kicking ass.
What's it on?
I don't know. It's on.
It's killing it.
It's on a couple.
Don't know how to watch it.
It's on a couple. I think it's a Paramount CBS joint or Paramount NBC joint. No, that doesn't make sense. It's one of those.
All right. Can confirm it's doing well. It is doing.
All right. I mean, I. But
it's doing really well.
But I don't really know what that means.
Hey, it's doing
like,
well.
It's like between 6 and 7 million viewers.
That's fantastic.
Per episode.
Stream.
Yeah, and it's and cable.
It's on the over the air.
Oh, double. I didn't think it was, but I mean, if you're saying 6 to 7 million people watching it,
I didn't know about it till I read the article that you're talking about how well it's
and
doing.
So who'd you say is back?
John Larroquette.
John Larroquette. I think he's the only one.
Only one.
Yeah, I think Harry T. Stone, his actual daughter, is the judge. She actually
has a
role.
Don't look at me, man. I have no idea.
His daughter has a role.
What's her name? Mary P. Stone?
I don't know, but she is actually in it as well. Right. The late Harry T. Stone, not in it.
Right. R.I.P. Let's get Elf back on the airwaves. Okay, final one here. I should have started with this. ESPN, headline, yesterday. Furkan Korkmaz requests trade from the 76ers. Is this news or an Onion headline?
I had no idea that Furkan Korkmaz also requested a trade years ago. This is the second time, but the first time, Sixers said, nah, you're sticking around. You're not going anywhere. And actually, his role increased. He signed a 3-year, $15 million deal. Yep. This is year two of that deal, and he's had enough.
Well, he's not playing at all, right?
No.
I mean, he's
been
played
buried.
In 25 games this year, and over the last stretch, he's basically a garbage time dude. He's played in 3 of their last 12 games, less than 3 minutes each game. So he is not seeing the floor, which I'm not saying is bad. I mean, he's a fine player, but obviously they got some good rotations going on right now with the 76ers and what Doc's doing. But this one was pretty funny. Everybody wanted an emergency pod to discuss Furkan wanting out of Philly. Will they appease him here at TK? Who wants him?
Who wants a Firk? I would trade a top 59 protected pick for Firk and Korkmaz. 100%. He struggled the last couple of years, but from 19 to 21, about a 40% three-point shooter. That's pretty exciting, man. That's pretty exciting. He moves. You can combine Furkan Korkmaz with Matisse Thybulle. You can get you a Derek Favors. Add him up. You can get a Derek Favors, man. That'd be crazy. Somebody should take a chance on Korkmaz.
Yeah?
Yeah.
He's only, blew my mind, he's only 25.
Yeah.
I thought he was so much older. I thought he was like maybe in his 30s. Like, honestly, I couldn't believe it. What? He's 25? Yep. 25 and a half. Just over. Well, 200 days. Yeah, just over.
2/3 of the way. 25 and 2/3, he tells his friends at school.
Do you think we see him moved here in the next 48 hours?
I don't know. Why would they? Why not keep him around?
Well, like Trey said, I guess if you get a pick or something. Why keep him around? He doesn't play at all. Yeah. They got a lot of guys.
He can come, he can literally have a 15-point quarter. I guess Niang would be their first choice, and Daniel House would be their second choice.
Trade him, too? They got some moves to make, I think the Sixers
could package
do.
Package if they wanted.
But Korkmaz is a Bulls killer. He's absolutely a Bulls killer. Most points per game he averages is against the Bulls.
Wow.
They need three-point shooting. Sixers need a backup center. You want Andre Drummond backed?
Oh, wow.
He's the best backup center they've had behind Embiid. We'll get to that in a little bit later.
Okay.
These trade deadline questions.
Okay. Okay, well, that's all the headlines I got for
you. Nas Reed, can you give him a juicy – the Wolves a juicy package.
That's a nice one.
Also, just wanted to confirm, I believe it's pronounced Melissa Rush is the judge in the new Night Court. She was on Big Bang Theory. FYI, and she plays the daughter of Harry T. Stone.
So no, what was his name? Bull. No Bull.
Yeah, I think as JD said, I think it's only John Larroquette.
Okay.
You loved Bull as the...
loved Bull, but...
The bailiff.
I'm like worried that... A, Bull got canceled, and I didn't know about it. Always a possibility. And then I'm just checking now. Bull is 80 years old. He's 80.
He takes no Bull, that guy.
Bull
he'd be good.
Is 80. He's 6'8", though. Maybe he could be a backup center for the 76ers.
Would you trade
Holy
Bull
crap,
from the original
that's blowing
Night Court
my
for
mind.
Furkan Korkmaz?
What's crazier, that Furkan is only 25 or Bull from Night Court is 80?
Let us know.
Wow, yeah.
Let us know down below.
Let's take our first break. When we come back, we'll have some trade deadline questions to tackle. Don't go anywhere. All right, still here in the Classic Factory. If you're joining us live on YouTube, thank you, thank you, thank you. Hit that like button. Make sure you have subscribed. We just hit 62,000 subs on YouTube, so we are marching towards 70K and then eventually 100K, and we can get that sweet, sweet plaque. But guys... trade deadline nearly upon us, so you know there's going to be calls over the next 48 hours and rumors and reports and hopefully deals. But I got some questions to tackle here to get us in the mood. Tomorrow I feel like we slop it up with a bunch of hot rumors, but today the questions are, which title contender most needs to make a trade at the deadline? All right, a team that could realistically like go very, very far, maybe even win the whole thing, that you think should... help out a need that you see and try and be aggressive here at the deadline and really, really go for it. Who you got?
I think there's a bunch of them, but I'm going to go to the top of the Western Conference because the Western Conference feels like it's there to be taken. I think the Nuggets should go out and take it. They got to improve their bench. They absolutely have to improve their bench. They killed it in the offseason, and now they need to go get a backup center / backup wing. And I'm still buying the trade of Bones Highland, their young, promising backup guard, to the Minnesota Timberwolves, where he would be reunited with Tim Connelly in their front office, the guy who drafted him, for Naz Reid, who they could overpay as a backup center. Pay the man. He's going to get paid a lot this offseason. And potentially somebody like Taurean Prince. They would have to get a third team involved, but I like that. Naz Reid and Taurean Prince on the Nuggets bench makes them a real strong contender in the Western Conference. It's there to be taken. We see the Grizzlies struggle. We see Steph Curry out. Mm-hmm. Go get it, Nuggets. You could be in the NBA Finals if you have a stronger bench and the Nikola Jokic minutes where he is on the bench are just a little bit stronger. Naz Reid's been balling this year. He can be so good as a backup big. They could play together at times, and I don't think they want to pay him in Minnesota with Rudy Gobert and Karl-Anthony Towns there. They've been talking about the extension, but I think he's going to demand too much, and he should demand too much. He's been balling this year. So him and Prince, get him to Denver.
To piggyback off of that, our guy Blake Murphy at Sportsnet had a big article on potential Raptors trades, where people send them in or other writers send them in, and he discusses them. One of them was OG Anunoby going to the Nuggets. Thad Young, wow. Kem Birch from the Raps. So OG, Thad, Kem for Michael Porter Jr. and Bones Highland. No picks because they do not have a lot. So it's not a pick-based sort of competition going back to the Raptors.
Not doing it
okay.
If I'm the Raps.
Okay.
That's
okay.
Just... OG Anunoby has missed some time. Michael Porter Jr.'s back is a huge question.
Yeah, 5 years, $180 million deal,
yeah,
on that guy, too.
Too risky.
Okay. Just throwing it out there.
That was fun, though.
Thanks.
Keep throwing up the spreadsheet cues. We got 53 more hours of them.
They are a great OG Anunoby spot. Like,
totally.
OG on the Nuggets... That's perfect.
Yeah. If they had picks,
yeah, because I would be worried about the MPJ contract as well. It's easier to do when he's in the building, right? And they're like, we just got to extend him, sign him to the big deal, which the Nuggets did. But yeah, their bench is Bones, Christian Brown, Jeff Green, Vlachar Chanchar, and Zeke Nnaji. Like, that's pretty risky to go into the playoffs with that as your bench. I'm with you. Reed and Prince, that sounds nice, actually.
Yeah.
Except for the fact that the Timberwolves and Nuggets may meet in the first round of the playoffs, so maybe they're not interested in helping, but those players, that's perfect. Defense and depth, certainly the Nuggets need. I'm staying on the top of the Eastern Conference. I think the Celtics need to make a move. They've been the best team in the league for the majority of the season, but they still have the same problems that they had last year. They need a third big man, especially considering Robert Williams' injuries to start the season. He was limping through the entirety of the playoffs last year. Al Horford ain't getting any younger. You could spell some of his minutes down the stretch. Also, don't think Grant Williams has been that great this season. And the reason they got Danilo Gallinari in the offseason was because they wanted some kind of a stretch big to kind of counteract a cold shooting performance from Grant Williams. Gallo got hurt right away, and they never did anything to replace it. So I think a little help with the bench scoring and a third big man would be great. Take a look at your PJ Washington out there.
Ooh.
Give him a call. See if he's interested in joining up with the Celtics. I think he does similar kind of things to Grant Williams, but could be a nice addition.
I like that. I don't know if you still consider the Clippers a title contender. A lot of people do. I don't really, but they could shop Reggie Jackson, John Wall, Covington, Marcus Morris, Kennard. Maybe if they're feeling extra frisky, they could throw in a Terrence Mann if they see someone they really, really like and they're help their chances of a title. That's a lot of guys there that are very tradable contracts, could bring, you know, some value to other teams. Now, they're sort of screwed. Like the Nuggets, they don't have a lot of picks to then attach to this to really make things juicy, but they need to upgrade, the Clippers do, their point guard position and probably their center position, like as a backup big after Zoo goes out. So that point guard one is the fascinating one. Do they try and get like a vet point guard to pair with Kawhi and Paul George and really go for this? Is it a Conley? Is it a Lowry? Is it a Van Vliet? Obviously a little younger than those guys. There's something there. There's something there. And I think, you know, with Ballmer as your owner, you could they will make a move here if they can find something in putting a couple of those together to get a better player. So Clippers, do it.
They always make trades.
Yeah. Yeah,
they're in the
like I said, with that lineup or those that many guys, they just have too many guys. Basically, they just need to consolidate, I think, a little bit, and it might work out in their favor.
Yeah, it's true. They've made a move every year since, like, I don't know, 2018 or 2017 or something like that. And it makes sense that the Jazz want to get younger. They'll take your prospects. You can entice them enough to get Mike Conley off their books, I do think.
Yeah, yeah.
And I just watched Danilo Gallinari jog. I wondered if Danilo Gallinari could come back and help the Boston Celtics. He put out a video a week ago of him rehabbing.
Okay.
Most of it's jogging, but there's some...
he doesn't sprint.
No.
So that's good.
Yeah, that's good. But
I've never seen him sprint.
But the caption is forging ahead with the rehab. You know, if you're jogging around the court.
Didn't he say he wanted to be back for the playoffs when the injury happened?
Yeah.
He's trying.
Pretty risky. Pretty risky, I'd say, to count on him.
Because it was in August. It's a tight timeline. But, yeah, he doesn't sprint. It looks okay doing the sidesteps. So, hopefully...
he doesn't move sideways either, so
not a lot.
Three-point line to three-point line. That's all you got to do.
All right, let's flip this on its head here. Let's go to which team outside the playoff race should really consider trading away their players here. Because, I don't know, you know, mailing it in, leaning into a tank, just trying to get some pieces here on a lost season. Where do you want to start with, Tess? What team?
I think it's smart to jump in on this market where it feels like a seller's market. It feels like we're going to get deals soon. That's my opinion because there aren't a lot of teams that are selling. So I think it would make sense. Who should be a part of that market? The Wizards, to me. Hmm. Even though they're 24 and 29, they had a recent win streak. I think they should. I think they should try and...
Who specifically?
Well, they got to trade the Kuz, I think.
Oh.
Instead of paying him long-term cash in, even though he is currently, you know, a rental, but he's currently playing incredible ball. I don't think his reputation could ever be higher. I don't think it'll ever be higher. I think it's time to get something for him. Take a step back. They are 12th in the Eastern Conference. Even though it looks on paper like they could be really, really good. I think they made this sort of the right move with Rui Hachimura. You'd think that they did that to sign Kuzma long-term, mm-hmm. but they got younger a little bit, and I think they should continue to do that. I would, anyway.
Okay. Because even, like, best-case scenario rest of the season...
Where are they going?
Here's what the best-case scenario is. They make it into the playoffs as one of the lower seeds and get waxed in the first round. That's the best-case scenario, right?
Yes. Yeah, they win in the play-in.
They get destroyed by the Celtics or Bucks or Sixers in the first round. That's the best-case scenario.
Yeah.
And yes, that might mean winning a play-in game or two or whatever. Get some gate money on that. I don't know, whatever. But that's it. So that's... And then even moving forward, it's like, what's going to change even next year with that roster? If they stick in there, they believe somehow that Beal, Kuzma, and Porzingis is the big three.
There were reports that the Heat are coming for Bradley Beal in the offseason.
Yeah.
Miami-based reports, they really want Beal, so right. I'm with you. Kuzma was at the top of my list. Like, it seems like it'll go the other way. The Wizards will probably bring him back because they do love to be in that 10-7 seed. but they should trade him, and they should move Beal for a nice package of picks come the offseason. The Raptors obviously have, like, the best players available right now, and since they're out of the playoffs as well, they should be selling. And I think it's a similar sort of scenario for the Trailblazers. They got to start shopping Josh Hart and Yusuf Nurkic. I think they could maybe get a decent, more athletic player back for them, and something that kind of changes up the look of their team, because the same sort of geometry has existed in Portland for half of a decade, and it ain't working.
Mm-hmm. All right, final one here. My big cue about the trade deadline. I think I've asked it about 8 times over the last couple months. But now that we're 48 hours and change away, let's do it again. Who's going to be the biggest name traded? Who is it, Tess?
It's a Raptor. It was once OG Anunoby at the top of the trade board. But now I think it's Fred.
Really?
I think it's Fred.
I think he's built his value back up, eh?
Oh, yeah. I think he's played really well. I think people are scouting him for a reason, and I think the Raps, even though there were reports that they offered him a multi-year extension in the offseason, are ready to move on from a guy who will be 30 and has had some injury problems and may want to just play for a championship. And I think all parties involved, especially if you're the Brooklyn Nets, because there was chatter that they wanted to get a third team involved in this Kyrie deal to take on Spencer Dinwiddie. We talked about it yesterday on Playback, and I think the wheels were churning for sure, and they still could do it. They could go get Fred. I say that because Kevin Durant, as we were watching, was on the bench for most of the game. Then he left before it was over.
He's checking his passport.
Yeah.
Am I playing Toronto?
No, I would just say that he wasn't extremely impressed with his teammates going forward. This is what I'm going to win the championship with. Am I reading way too much into Kevin Durant leaving the bench? Yes. Yes, I am. But does he have enough to win a championship beside him? No. No, he doesn't. He requested a trade last offseason. And I think Fred, as a guy who was not quite the lead guard on a championship team, was a big part of that championship team in the end. And has only gotten better and has been playing really, really well recently.
But who are the Nets going to trade for Fred VanVleet? Now, especially that Dinwiddie can't be packaged with other players.
Yeah, that's
in
a problem.
Potential deal.
Well, number one is that pick. They have to just forward that pick that they got from the Dallas Mavericks.
Okay.
It's a pretty solid pick, an unprotected first-round pick.
In the future.
Yeah, it's a long time from now.
29.
And it's tough. You're right. It's tough because it seems like the Raps want to win.
Would the Nets trade Nick Claxton? At this point, they probably shouldn't.
Yeah. No, they shouldn't. We didn't mention him, but he looks like a guy that Kevin Durant needs and wants to play with. No, you can't do that.
Right.
If you want to keep Kevin Durant.
And I'm assuming
around.
From the Raptors side of things, if they're like realistically deciding to trade Van Vliet and they're looking at the Nets as a trade partner, they're going, okay, Claxton, Cam Thomas, you know, outside of like a huge Kevin Durant package, outside of that, which I don't think's happening.
And it's above our pay grade and above our brain grade to get the three team trades involved. But I think the Nets getting involved with another third team that would potentially trade another asset to the Raps with that pick for Fred going to Brooklyn makes sort of sense. I think it's Fred.
Okay. You think it's Fred Van Vliet, biggest name traded at the deadline. Bet on yourself. Who are you going, TK?
Kyrie Irving.
Wow, that's bold.
Yeah. I don't think we're getting another all-star traded. Another all-star starter traded. And I actually got Gary over Fred.
Gary over Fred.
I got Gary over Fred.
Gary over Fred's over OG.
And I got an OG right in the middle.
Oh,
of Gary and Fred.
To OG to Fred.
Yeah, who knows? Gary Trent Jr., he can be becoming a free agent in the offseason. Teams need shooting. And he's a clutch client. So all those things add up together. It makes me think trades are in the offing, especially if we're seeing the Lakers aren't interested in. Well, I mean, I guess they technically offered their two first-round picks, but they would much rather do one first-round pick, and maybe you could get a Gary for one pick.
Okay.
Yep.
Let's not forget about John Collins.
I kind of did, actually. I totally did. Mix.
I think I wanted to mention him.
I'm just trying to speak it into existence, that John Collins finally gets moved here at the deadline.
It's been talked about for so long that we've forgotten about him to some degree. He's fourth on the Athletics trade deadline big board. As the
who's 1, 2, 3?
Oge, yep. OG, Kyle Kuzma, and Fred.
Okay.
1, 2, 3. And we've named a bunch of them. There's 25 names on this board. Throughout this show, we've named a bunch of them. We haven't named Bojan Bogdanović, a shooter, that, as you said.
Sure.
Everybody wants the shooter. Still looking good. He's trying to guard the team's best players at times.
Where's Eric Gordon doable on that list?
He's got to be tough. 15.
We got
I was going to say 10.
No.
Oh,
my.
Wow.
He's not in 2017.
Do we got infinite scrolling on this board? Because I'm not seeing him.
He may not even make it. Eric Gordon's getting traded. Though.
Eric Gordon, yeah. It's kind of like John
Collins. We got to save Eric Gordon, man. He's got to get out of there.
It's not on this board.
Oh, wow.
Is Kevin Durant getting traded? That's the other big name that's a possibility.
I don't believe so.
I don't think so. Just because he signed for so long, they'll say... You're sticking around.
I think
just
the idea. He's just coming back from injury. I think he's actually getting checked by doctors today. Maybe that's where he had to get out early yesterday.
Yeah, maybe. But he's also turning
paperwork in.
He's turning 35 in September, requested a trade. They have to do something.
I'm going to say he's going to come back from injury. They have a new team. They do have we've talked ourselves into a pretty good defensive-minded team to possibly surround Kevin Durant. And, hey, it helped out that Cam Thomas is looking very explosive right now. I just think they give it a go here. Whatever happens, wherever they, if they play the Cavs in the first round, beat them, lose, who knows? I think we explore the Kevin Durant trade in the offseason, not here in the next 50 hours. That's what my gut says.
Alec Burks is on the list.
Alec Burks.
Alec Burks?
You forgot about
Eric
Alec
Gordon?
Burks.
Mm-hmm. Come on.
Alec Burks, the modern day Eric Gordon.
All right. You tell us, look into your crystal ball, who's going to be the biggest name traded at the deadline.
Buddy Hield's still on this list. Sorry, I'm just scrolling.
And Miles still on there? Not anymore.
Nah.
No? Okay.
He was once one on this big board. He was first, I remember. This big board's great. I love spreadsheets.
Was Kyrie Irving ever on the big board?
I don't think so.
No. Hey, that happened quickly, though.
Yeah, no doubt.
Hey, trade me. Oh, okay.
Yeah, he's on there. Ooh. Quickly. Six.
You son of a... They shouldn't trade him. Okay.
He's got a lot of heart. Yeah, he's on there. 11th. Josh.
Harden? Oh, Josh Harden.
Josh Harden?
Josh Hartenstein.
It's NBA playoffs time, and that means NBA snack time. I can't stop eating while I'm watching. So many options in my house that I gotta cut out a bit. I gotta switch it up, but I know I'm not giving up. Sunflower seeds? Sure. But maybe something that's not a food for that oral fixation, perhaps? Good thought. Here's a breath of fresh air. Fume. Fume takes your habit and simply makes it better, healthier, and more enjoyable. Fume is an innovative, award-winning flavored air device. Instead of vapor, Fume uses flavored air. Instead of electronics, Fume is completely natural. And instead of harmful chemicals, Fume uses delicious flavors. You get it. Instead of bad, Fume is good. It's a habit you're free to enjoy and makes replacing your bad habit easy. Its taste is surprising. All natural stuff. It's fun to fidget with, and it's a good weight. The wood feels good, and it feels cool to use. Start the good habit by going to tryfume.com/dunks and getting the Journey Pack today. Fume is giving listeners to the show 10% off when they use our code DUNKS to help make starting the good habit that much easier.
I gotta get something off my chest. Nothing drives me crazier than sending a message to a group chat and getting no response. That's why I'm a big emoji responder. Love a hang loose hand or a salute, but man, it hurts when you send a message and get nothing back. Ouch! We all carry around different stressors, big and small. When we keep them bottled up, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. Therapy isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/NoDunks today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp.com/NoDunks. This episode of No Dunks is brought to you by BetterHelp.
Pick'em results last night. Clippers Nets. I had the Nets. I said, this is a classic guys being dudes game. You watch. They're going to cover. And they nearly did. They actually could have shot it at the end, right? Would have been a real backdoor cover for me. They were down 8 points. They had 7 seconds left.
It would have been Devin Booker going
for
60.
This is a Roman ad read? What's going on here?
I love it. No, we need this one.
But you guys got it. Stupid Clippers covering.
Killed it.
Can't believe it.
We've been hitting the copyright with our other song.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, that's
way
what's
better.
Going on.
Beat
I was
me
so
is
confused.
Fired.
Wow, that, our pick'em song is gone.
I'm getting rid of it.
Can we get a new one, though? Can we find something new?
Yeah, I mean, I'm just auditioning different.
I'm just like, I gotta tell people.
You don't 10%
like off.
I know.
Put in the promo code NoDunks. Let them know we sent you.
I thought you
get rock that. Hard for Valentine's Day.
All right, let's find something else.
Yeah. No, that's fine.
We're just going to go through some.
All right, let's test them out. Okay, last night, Clippers Nets. That's not bad.
This is great.
We definitely don't have the rights for this one, but let's see what happens.
Yeah.
But isn't this isn't copyright free? The NFL theme song on Fox, the NFL on Fox theme song.
No,
is,
this is like
I know, but I'm saying this should all just be copyright.
It's like
this is an anthem.
This is public domain in Canada.
I don't mind this, but the problem is every time you play this, we're gonna start naming old goalies.
That's fine.
So. We're going to hear Darren Poopa's name said a million times. John Van Miesbroek.
I was going to say. I was going to say John Van Miesbroek. That's my go-to, man.
That's true.
Somebody's going to say Ron Tugnutt.
It's going to be you.
Especially when it's a Ron.
I might say Tom Barrasso. I might.
See? Hey, good win for you, Clippers. Good win for you, Clippers. I'm 1-3. Let's get to tonight's game. Where are we going?
We're going off the goalie
don't like
post.
This one.
We're going to Pittsburgh. Avalanche Penguins. Yeah. The line? I imagine this is the line for every hockey match. 1.5.
Oh, no. It can be a 0.5. Come on. Joe Sakic and Peter Forsberg lining up?
Nope. Literally every line is 1.5 for every game tonight.
That's wild.
Yeah, because you're down one, you got to pull the goalie. You got to make things happen. So then it's two.
That's amazing.
The goalie is being pulled a lot more often in NHL hockey.
Yeah. All right.
You've never been this deep into the song.
Yeah, it's like this is the same song.
Oh, I thought you switched it.
This is Hockey Night in Canada.
No one even knew this part existed.
The only show that will get to the end of Hockey Night in Canada is No Doubt.
Yeah, no doubt.
Anyways, we're doing the LeBron game. Why the heck
all right,
not?
All right, what's the line?
As big a line as a hockey game. 7.5.
That's
a
football line, baby.
That is huge. It is a football
what's
line.
What's the Super Bowl line? I think it's tight.
It should be.
I think it's like 1.5 or something.
Oh.
Yeah.
Trey thinks the Los Angeles Lakers will win by a touchdown with the 2 extra point. What am I saying?
2-point conversion?
2-point conversion.
They're going for 2. They're going for 2 late.
Hey,
yeah.
Bet on the safety, man. Bet on the safety.
Oh, you saw that kicker from Dallas. Missed 4 extra points in a game. You can't risk it.
That's right.
In a LeBron game like this. LeBron losing the night he breaks Kareem's record? Come on.
Hey, do you know what Super Bowl number we're at?
52.
No.
54?
No. I don't know why I'm laughing. I just said it funny that nobody knows.
69.
No. Oh, geez, that'd be real nice. 57.
Crazy.
Line is 1.5.
You know, the last 8 coin flip winners have lost the Super Bowl.
Really?
Yeah, now that's interesting.
Wow.
Well, that's a stat.
I think it's 8.
Does it annoy you that the odds for the coin toss are not 50-50 in your books out there?
What?
You know, it's not a 50-50 like payout. Why is it not?
That's weird.
Because they're dirks. They want to take our money.
What are the odds?
I don't know. It's like, whatever. It's like close. Let me look it up.
Which one's the favorite? Which is heavier?
I think Heads is on a run, isn't it?
Heads is on a run. Yeah, they got coin a winning flip, streak. They've been playing really well. Would you ever buy the commemorative coin from a Super Bowl? Let's say the Bills win the Super Bowl. Would you order?
No way.
No?
No.
No, come on. I got very few questions to ask about a coin, so I don't know if you're getting close on the flip.
Unless it costs as much as the actual
odds,
coin. No.
Odds on each side, minus 105.
Oh, yeah.
That's stupid.
That's gambling.
I know, but you're going to gamble on 100 other things. Bring us in with at least a 50-50 chance on it. On the payout, and then we'll put all the money into other
just
things.
Bet your Uncle Jim, and then
they're
you're
making
in
this,
on
listen
it.
To the Athletic, Jim. The Athletic, breaking it down. Sportsbooks, they make 2.3, what am I trying to say? 2.3, hold on.
2.3?
I'm having a stroke. 2.38% profit on that flip.
On coins.
Yeah. That's
everything's
nuts.
Inflated.
Wow. Wow. Will the Chiefs choose heads or tails? Trivia question.
We've gone too far.
Who flipped the coin last year? Woman, legend, sports.
Woman, legend, sports. Jackie Joyner-Kersee.
No!
Martina Navratilova.
Very close.
Serena.
Steffi Graf.
No!
Billie Jean.
Yeah.
Dominique Dawes.
It was Billie Jean, I believe.
Billie Jean King?
Yeah.
I think so, yeah.
Okay.
All right. What were we doing here? Oh, yeah. Tweet of the nighttime.
Tweet of the night. Wow.
Twitter.
Luckily, we've had enough fun for today, so it's a very serious question as the tweet comes through from Brady Klopfer. Very serious question. You think LeBron James owns a basketball pump, or do you think when one of his basketballs loses air, he just uses a new one? Really makes you think, you know? Guy's got a Nike deal. Obviously, his shoes start wearing out. Give me a new pair of LeBrons to wear.
That's a no-doubter.
Yeah, that's for sure, but I think he has a pump.
You think he's got a pump?
Yeah,
he has to have a pump.
He's got it in the garage, yeah.
You think he pumps his own basketballs?
Yeah.
No way. No way. Makes the kids do it.
Ah, yeah.
You want to shoot,
kids.
You
got
a pump.
Yeah. That's right. But he has a pump. They don't have, like, he doesn't have hundreds of balls in his garage.
What?
You think, like, at his house, he has hundreds of basketballs?
I'll take over 10 basketballs.
Okay, maybe. Yes, I was thinking hundreds, though. I don't know why.
Hundreds?
Hey, you guys want to flip a coin, see who wins the coin toss in the Super Bowl? Do it now?
I'll be the house.
Do it live?
I'll take 2.38%.
That's smart.
Whoever chooses.
All right, come on.
It's going to be tails.
All right, come on over
tails.
To me.
Everyone knows.
Get on me there, Ashwa. Here we go. Can you see that? Here we go.
Yeah,
we're going
to
flip this
play.
Up. Oh, let's get the audio. I think it's sort of fun. All right. Love
Jack
this. This is a great app. Our guy, Ken, told us about this app years ago. It's called Coin Flipper. He uses it anytime like a simple decision needs to be made.
Right.
You know, like, what are we eating tonight? Pizza or, you know, Thai food? And nobody can decide. He's like, all right, let's let the coin decide. Here we go. What are you calling?
Tails.
You got heads, okay?
Yeah, I'm comfortable with that.
Tails.
I'm going to win the Super Bowl.
Woo!
Congrats. You want to defer or do you
want
to receive?
No, we want the ball. We're going to win.
Which end you want to go? Or in a dome? Doesn't really matter.
Which way is Mahomes facing? My homes. I am...
north, I guess.
Yeah.
From here.
I'm going
so
north.
Far.
So far in the SoFi Stadium.
Not there.
It's not?
No, it was last year.
That was Royal Rumble.
That was last year, wasn't it?
Phoenix or are they?
It's in SoFi Stadium.
It's in Phoenix.
Come on.
Isn't it?
They always
it's in
play
Glendale,
in SoFi.
Man.
They have to.
I thought it was in Glendale. I thought
you don't know what Super Bowl number it is.
State Farm. It's in Glendale.
It's in Atlanta. It's down the street.
SoFi was last year. Because they were home team. That was rare.
That was rare. Yeah. That was rare. That was, yeah. That was rare.
Dr. Dre was playing at home. Remember?
Hold on.
Yeah, it was in California, and Dre was the halftime show.
Dr. Dre. I think he said Dr.
J. He definitely said Dr. J.
No.
Yes, he did.
No.
Play the tape back.
Run it back.
I was like, what? Dr. J was there? What?
I was like, huh?
What? Don't, Crown Royal? Huh?
Don't Mary J. oblige these people.
I think you said Dr. J.
I heard Dre.
Really? Heard Dre. Wow. All right. Maybe we got basketball on the mind. We
They're
are
playing
a
in Glendale.
Podcast.
Who would have thunk it?
Yeah, yeah. They've played there a couple times.
Oh yeah, it's
that's
beautiful
the
weather.
Stadium that the grass like retracts out. I think they take it like it's like on a thing that literally like beneath the stadium goes out.
What?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Removable grass.
Yeah, so they can get it outside, get more sunshine.
Take the grass for a walk.
I'm pretty sure that's pretty sure
you
that's
take
part
the grass
of
to the grass park.
Touch grass, man. All right, let's call it there. Thanks for joining us live. We really appreciate it. Hit that like button. Make sure you subscribe to No Dunks. Get your tickets to our No Dunks live show for more of this nonsense in front of a live audience there at the Urban Lounge on Friday, February 17th, 8 p.m. local time. There's a link in the show notes. Whether you listen to the podcast on whatever platform you download the show or there on YouTube, come hang with us. It'll be a blast. We are back tomorrow unless there's an emergency podcast. You said there would be today. You think there's going to be one on a Tuesday here. You know, maybe not a big trade, but you think there'll be a trade.
Just because there aren't enough sellers out there, the buyers got to make offers. I'm just buying into what the Mavs did.
Okay.
They said, okay, we're not waiting. Let's put our best offer forth. It happened. So I'm guessing that the sellers will get enough bites to pull a trigger here.
Okay, okay. Well, let's hopefully we get a trade today. And if it's juicy enough, we'll jump on and do an emergency podcast. Otherwise, we'll see you tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. Eastern, maybe talking about LeBron being the NBA's all-time scoring leader. There's like five other games on as well. We'll break down those, and we'll slop it up. We'll do some NBA trade rumors and get into it all. Till then, Clipper Bros.
You heard it here first. Have a great time. Turn up. Love you guys. Awesome.
Thanks for joining us. And remember, just because a player's name is trending doesn't mean he was traded. What I'm seeing here, Wiseman, Simmons, Dyson, all trending. But are they trending? They're trending for me. I'm not seeing them as actual trends. They're trending for me, you know?
Yeah.
Hate it.
Yeah. One of my trends just says Mitch.
what
a mystery.
Be? Yeah.
Did Mitch Trubisky get released by the Pittsburgh Steelers?
Could be. Mitch Richmond, I doubt. Any other Mitches you know?
I'm seeing three separate Mitches.
There was a Mitch on Love
Connell,
Island.
Richmond.
Oh.
Moreland. Could be anyone.
Life's a Mitch.
Life's a Mitch and then you die.
Embrace the day, people.